In this episode, we finally return and pay tribute to the late, great Joe Flaherty. I'm your host, Derek Brink, and you are listening to Empty Checking. Hey there, checkmates. It's your old Uncle Derek. Sorry that I've been gone for a little while. If you've been listening to the show on one of the podcast apps, you probably have some sense of what's been going on in my life. If not, and you just wait for the uploads to my social media or whatnot to click into this, you're probably a little bit less informed. It's really worth your time to follow the show on an app because you get uploads when I'm not doing uploads, I guess, that kind of tell you why there's not a show that week or what have you. But if you're not listening to that, you probably should. That's the end of that. But I've had a lot of stuff going on lately. Some family members in the hospital, things like that. Right now I'm talking to you while missing a front tooth. And that's affecting my speech a little bit, and it's difficult for me to do full episodes right now. It just kind of, so we're doing what in the past I've referred to as an episode of Empty Checking Fast Cash, and I usually yell it after that, Fast Cash! Something like that. Because what that means, it's antiquated banking terminology. Empty Checking as a show is called that because I'm emptying my checking account. And years ago, if you went to my ATM anyway, you had the option of typing in a bunch of stuff to get to your account, or you could just click fast cash and get like $20 really quickly without having to do a whole bunch of extra clicking. And now all ATMs basically just do the fast cash option. But hey, if you remember a specific era of ATMs, then this episode format makes sense to you. It's just a little bit shorter and faster of an episode than what we normally do. We're not going to do the full hour. We're just going to talk about one thing, and we're going to be done. So it's a little bit of a different format, so it has a little bit of a different name. Empty Checking, Fast Cash. Fast Cash! That's what we're doing here in this episode. But I'm talking to you through a hole in my teeth, just a place where a tooth that I had a root canal on 12, maybe 13 years ago. Just a front tooth. I'd had a root canal, and the dentist built up, you know, basically a false tooth out of filling right up front. And I walked around with that for 12, 13 years, and it was fine. And over the past couple of weeks, it just completely fell apart on me, and now I'm missing a tooth, and I've got dental appointments going for the next like 2 months to get a tooth in there, which is better than like, I'm not doing the full implant. I'm doing a bridge. Those of you who know dental stuff, because a bridge is about $4,000 cheaper than an implant, and also doesn't include phrases like if the bone graft holds. So you know, and also a bridge or an implant would take about 6 months, whereas the bridge takes about two. So you know, I want to resume my life with a front tooth as soon as I can, and that was my best option. So we're working on that. So you're going to get episodes, but they may be a little bit shorter. They may be a little bit more... you may notice some weird pronunciations or some odd mouth sounds happening coming out of me. Sorry about those if you hear them and they bother you. I've noticed particularly when I pronounce words starting with the letter F, I will sometimes get a weird kind of, there's no other way to describe it than farty sound, as my lip kind of vibrates from the air pushing past in where the tooth should be. The way around this is I am kind of holding my fingers up to my lip right now, and it's sort of holding down, like, I've got my fingers on my mustache, and it's holding down that little part of skin that would be vibrating, and you'd be hearing weird farty noises every time I said anything that particularly starts with an F. You would hear that, and I'm trying to save us both a little bit of embarrassment anyway. But yeah, it's been a rough several weeks. So sorry about all that, but we're here, we're doing this now, and if you have extra interest in the show, there are some websites you can check out. The show has a companion blog with photos and other things on it over at emptychecking.blogspot.com. The show itself is hosted at emptychecking.podbean.com. Sorry about that, Podbean. They've been good to me, but it's been a while since I've done this intro. You can go there, and that's actually a great app to subscribe through. There's plenty of shows on Podbean. What else? We're on the streaming apps. I think all of them. If we're not on the one that you prefer, one, how are you listening to this? And two, let me know and I'll get it there. If you want to know more about me, I think is where we are in this little diatribe. If you want to know more about me, go on over to DerekBrink.com. Lots of stuff to click on there, particularly about my music career. And by the way, I've got a new album coming out in May. It's called Boop, named after like the thing that you do when you press a cat's nose. Album covers a picture of one of my cats. It's called Boop. Coming out May 3rd. You'll hear more about that as the date approaches. But yeah, music career at DerekBrink.com. If you like the music that you hear throughout the show, go on over to DerekBrink.bandcamp.com and you can download it all for absolutely free. There may also every now and again be songs that come from FromTheBrink.bandcamp.com, which is kind of my archive of other stuff I've done that isn't my official solo career. That's just kind of a fun one to poke around on if you're a really big Derek fan. But DerekBrink.bandcamp.com is the main one for me, and the main one that you'll hear songs from on this show. See, I'm out of practice at this. This is taking a really long time. If you want to email me, you want to tell me what I'm doing is right or wrong or otherwise, you can do that at my initials, db@DerekBrink.com, and I answer everybody who isn't mean to me in their email. I think that's all of the websites and stuff that I'm supposed to say up top. I do believe that I've said them. So I think we're ready to go. Got some family members in the hospital that's starting to resolve. Got some other stuff going on. Work's been hard lately. In traffic, since I talked to you since I talked to you last, I recently had a guy slam on his brakes in front of me and then get out and start yelling at me about how I was following him too close. And, like, when he had slammed on his brakes, I just stopped calmly because I thought he was having a problem. I didn't have to slam on mine, so I wasn't following him too close. He was, like, threatening me and stuff, and I don't know what that was. It was not a situation, I don't think, where he was trying to cause an accident and collect insurance money. This was I'd put him probably mid to late 50s white guy dressed like he was going to an office. This was a guy who just has an anger problem that one day is going to get him killed. That happened as well. Still thinking about it, because, like, I'm not paranoid about it, but I kind of want to know what happens to that guy. You know? Like, I want to know when that guy finally gets shot by somebody that he pulls that kind of shit on. You know? And, like, hopefully he's okay after that happens. I don't want anybody to suffer necessarily. But I do, like, karmically kind of want to know that he learned his lesson. You know? Probably just a jerk having a bad day. But he kind of made my day bad. And, like, since I've driven down the same road, like, every time I drive down it at roughly that same time, I kind of look for him again. Because I, like, let's see if he's doing that to anybody else. You know? That happened as well. So it's been an odd couple of weeks. We got something else to talk about. I can sit here and just do personal life updates for a full hour probably, but we do have something that I want to talk about. I thought about just kind of going right into it, but you know what? We're about 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes into the show, and let's play some music to transition out of it, and transition out of this part, the intro, whatever. I went away for a little while and I got bad at this, friends. Sorry about that. Checkmates. Don't even know what I call you anymore. Sorry, checkmates. But we're going to play a little bit of music and then we're going to talk about something that is kind of near and dear to my heart. And hopefully maybe if it isn't already to yours, it will be, or I guess he will be, I should say, by the end of the next segment.
I've fallen so far. It's so hard to be yourself when you don't know who you are. I'm afraid I've lost my way. I've got friends.
All right, checkmates, we've got to do what is really some sad business, but I also want this to be informative and kind of a celebration. On April Fool's Day this year, April the 1st, we said goodbye to a comedy icon, a comedy legend, one of those guys that I just really respect, who's been a huge, like on my Mount Rushmore of comedians. Not that I can claim to be a comedian myself. I wouldn't make that claim. I'm not a comic. I'm not a comic anything. I like to think I'm somewhat funny, you know, and maybe a little bit entertaining, but I would not claim to be a comedian, but I what I know of comedy, this guy is right at the top of my list. I don't know if he's number one, but he would be in my top five if we were doing a Fab 15 episode this week, which we are not. Sorry if you can hear my chair squeaking in the background. It's a stool, actually. It's creaking a little. Sorry about that. Promise I'm not farting. I want to take a minute here and just, on that note, pay tribute to someone who passed away on April the 1st. I'm talking, of course, of the absolute comedy legend whose name you might not even know, Joe Flaherty. If you don't know who that is, you probably actually do, because from what, the 70s up until very recently, he was one of the quintessential, oh, that guy type of guys in comedy. He appeared in a bunch of stuff. It's almost hard to know what to zero in on as the thing that you probably know him from. For a lot of us, it's going to be SCTV. He was one of the staples of the Canadian sketch comedy show SCTV. Characters like Count Floyd and Guy Caballero, to name only two of dozens. hell of a Bing Crosby impression. Hell of a Slim Whitman impression. He had a really bad Don Knotts impression on SCTV. He was a part of that group. SCTV, of course, being the show that also launched the careers of people like Eugene Levy, Andrea Martin, John Candy, Martin Short, Rick Moranis. I'm forgetting Catherine O'Hara. How did I forget Catherine O'Hara? There are others that I'm just forgetting. Harold Ramis was involved for a bit. It just so many really funny Canadian comics came out of SCTV. Dave Thomas is another one. SCTV was comedy gold, and Flaherty was right at the heart of that. But he did a lot of stuff that, again, he's just one of those guys that if you think you don't know him, you probably do. I went to his Wikipedia page and just jotted down a handful of the things I've seen. He was a border guard in Stripes. He was Sid Sleaze in Sesame Street's Follow That Bird. That might have been one of my earliest memories of him. I was a real little kid when Follow That Bird came out. He was a waiting room patient in Innerspace, of all things. He was a doorman in Who's Harry Crumb. He played the Western Union guy in Back to the Future 2, brings the letter to Marty. He was in Happy Gilmore. He was the heckler guy, Donald. I don't even like Happy Gilmore, but I liked him in it. He was in The Wrong Guy, the Dave Foley movie that I've talked about on this show before. He played Fred Holden, a Fred Holden savings and loan. He was, God, he was funny in that. He was in Detroit Rock City as Father Philip McNulty. He was in Anchorman. He was the manager of the Texas TV station in Anchorman. On TV, already mentioned SCTV. You can kind of toss in the Ed Grimley show with that, the Completely Mental Misadventures of Ed Grimley. He did a Married with Children. I mean, a lot of these, he just kind of walked on, did an episode, and was the best part of that episode. Married with Children was one of those. He was in most of the episodes, I think, of Maniac Mansion, which I didn't actually see, but is highly regarded and I need to track down. Did a voice on Dinosaurs. He was in an episode of Dream On. Alan, Freaks and Geeks. He was in Everybody Loves Freaks and Geeks. He was in that. Played the dad. Did Even Stevens, That 70s Show, King of Queens, Frasier. He's actually one of my favorite kind of walk-on characters of Frasier, of the folks who were just there for one episode. He was involved with Clone High and Family Guy and American Dad, and he played a time-traveling Abraham Lincoln trying to assassinate Dave Foley's John Wilkes Booth in a really odd sketch that was part of, I think, like a special for Toonces the Driving Cat. He showed up everywhere. That's just the stuff I've seen. There's so much more out there. Go to his Wikipedia page or his IMDb. You have definitely seen him in something. Or just pull up a picture on Google Images and you will say, oh, that guy, if you don't know him. I already feel like I'm falling short paying tribute to the man because he raised the bar. He elevated any scene that he was in. Like, if it was already a funny scene, you put Flaherty in it, and it got funnier. If it was a scene that wasn't funny, but you wanted it to be funny, you put Flaherty in it, and it was going to be funny. Because he was going to find a way to take nothing dialogue and make it funny. Just in his presence, in his delivery, and the look on his face, he just knew how to squeeze the comedy out of whatever situation he was in. He was so, so good. Definitely my favorite part of SCTV. I mean, when I was a kid, my favorite part of SCTV was Ed Grimley when he would show up. But, I mean, Flaherty, Count Floyd, you kidding me? Guy Caballero? Come on. He was just so funny. And like I said, he elevated whatever he walked into. He made things funnier just by being there. He's one of those guys. I'm thinking of, there was a SCTV reunion that is on one of the SCTV DVD sets. I don't think SCTV ever went to Blu-ray, but on one of the DVD sets, there was a reunion kind of panel thing that they were interviewing several people. And I think it was Catherine O'Hara that kind of brought the room down, mentioning the death of John Candy and like, oh, the anniversary is this weekend. And it kind of had a somber vibe. It was like right at the start of the panel. And then Flaherty just starts talking and just starts like doing bits and kind of, you know, sharing memories and just kind of start. You feel the mood of the room shift from being this sort of maudlin, sort of weighty thing to suddenly Flaherty's talking and like, oh, hey, this is a lot of fun suddenly. And this is funny suddenly. And this is really entertaining suddenly. And he took kind of a sad room and made it happy. And that was his gift, is whatever situation you dropped him into, if there was a way to make it funnier and to make it more fun and to make people happy walking out of it, he was going to find it. And he was going to do that. No one was better at that than Flaherty. I've been watching the SCTV DVDs here because that's the first thing I think of when I think of Flaherty. I've been watching the SCTV DVDs, and there's a couple of times where in the bonus footage, in the bonus features, they're, you know, talking to cast members, and he's sitting there with Eugene Levy, and they're both sort of answering questions and sort of building the narrative of what this documentary is supposed to be. And it's as though Flaherty just had absolutely no interest in talking about what they were talking about because he just started riffing on other, like, things. Like, Levy would be answering a question or telling a story, and Flaherty would go, hey, remember that time that we did this? And it was, you know, they'd just tell this completely unrelated story. And Levy would be sitting there going, yeah, Joe, I remember that. I'm trying to figure out how that applies to what we were talking about, you know, And Flaherty's just like, ah, it was a moment. It was a moment. I just, yeah, just shared a moment, you know. And it was so much funnier than it should have been because it would have just been a straight answer. And Flaherty was like, nah, let's have some fun here, you know. And he was so gifted at that. And in the past, well, I guess about 2 weeks now, it's, you know, this episode's going up when it's going up because of my dental work, mostly. Past 2 weeks, about 2 weeks ago, we lost Joe Flaherty. And I found myself weirdly sad about it. Because he's of that generation of comedic actor that intellectually I know is going to go before me. He was 82. I actually didn't realize he was quite that old. He was one of the older members of the SCTV cast, but he was 82. Good run. That's especially in comedy and in celebrity and actor circles. 82, he may as well have been 106. You know, that's a good run. But he, I found myself kind of, I don't want to say that I was surprised by it. I don't want to say that I thought he was going to be around forever or anything like that. But I saw the news and I went, ah, not Joe Flaherty. Man, come on. Couldn't we just kept Flaherty? You know, and you have that with a celebrity every now and again. Every now and again, a celebrity dies, and it's one of the ones that you kind of feel like you knew him. You know, and Flaherty, I guess, was one of those for me. The whole SCTV gang is like that for me. And part of the reason why is SCTV was shot with a fairly low budget and just looks like, well, they did this on a couple of camcorders that they bought. You know, like it just kind of has that feel, which is part of its charm. It has that feel to it in a lot of places. And it's just part of it's just of the era of TV that looked like that, too. So it just has a very sort of amateurish look to it in a lot of ways. And it reminds me, every time I watch SCTV, it reminds me of, like, home videos my dad used to make with his friends. My dad's a founding member of a club here in the St. Louis area called the Gluttons. And for a while, and I guess still to this day, they were doing Glutton Films. And they used to write scripts and kind of act them out and stuff, and they do like parodies of My Fair Lady or parodies of Sesame Street or what have you. And SCTV and the old Glutton Films had kind of the same look and feel to them. So like, and I would have been watching both at the same time when I was a kid. So developmentally, I sort of relate the two. And when Joe Flaherty died, it felt a little like one of my dad's old friends from the Glutton Films died. You know, that's for a lot of you, that's probably a little bit hard to understand because you're finding out a lot of this information all at once about my own personal background. But yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like because those old SCTV sketches feel a lot like, oh, my dad might have made this. You know, like this feels like the kind of stuff my dad was doing when they had cameras and they were, you know, in the 80s or whatever. And SCTV had that same vibe. A little, I mean, SCTV had a better budget than did the Gluttons. But the style of comedy, the style of shot and things just, yeah, Flaherty died, and I felt like, ah, one of Dad's old buddies, you know, that I haven't seen in a while. I felt that in the heart, you know? Because he was so funny, and he brought such a warmth and such a joy to the comedy that he performed, that if you let that sink into you, as I and as so many people let it sink into them, if you let that sink into you, it just feels like someone you know went, you know? And again, someone you haven't seen in a while. You know, that you, if somebody asked you, yeah, of course, I'm going to outlive Joe Flaherty. I'm in my 40s, he's in his 80s, you know? But it's still sad to hear it, you know, when you finally hear it. You still kind of, you feel the tug in the heart. And I had the, I guess, benefit of finding out about it on April the 2nd, so I didn't have to wonder if it was an April Fool's joke. Because I, my brother, actually, your Papa Dave, he heard about it, like, late night on the 1st and thought, I hope this is a hoax. I hope this is some kind of stupid April Fool's hoax. And, you know, so he had to kind of live with it for a while before it was kind of, you know, confirmed. I had the the benefit of finding out about it on the second and not having to worry about that. And but yeah, it just tugged at me. It just tugged at my heart. And I knew that I had to say something about it on the show. And then I had a tooth fall apart on me. And I couldn't say anything about it on the show. And, you know, now here we are. I'm holding my lip together, you know, and we're talking about it. Because Joe Flaherty needs to be talked about and he needs to be remembered. And if you have even a moment of, oh, that guy, go back and watch whatever you loved that he's in, because you're gonna watch it a little differently and you're gonna appreciate him a little bit more. In the aftermath of his passing, I've been working my way through SCTV. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate Flaherty and the SCTV stuff I'm watching here lately. Always did appreciate him. Always, like I said, he's my favorite part of SCTV, because, you know, once you realize what he's doing and how much of a gift to the genre and to the medium that he is, he kind of becomes the guy that you watch. But now that he's gone, that all feels so much more pertinent, I guess, and so much more... Here's the thing. I'm watching this stuff, and I'm not sad watching it. I'm watching it, and I'm celebrating that I got to see that stuff. And I'm celebrating that stuff, in some ways, is going to live forever. Because he influenced everybody who watched him. You watch some of the young comics today, if one of them talks about SCTV, they're talking about Joe Flaherty. And I've been celebrating that, watching the guy. You know, like, there are times when a celebrity passes, you watch whatever you love with that celebrity, and you go, ugh, it's such a shame he's not around anymore. I'm watching Flaherty on SCTV going, oh, man, it's so great that somebody thought to record this. Thank God somebody thought to record this. Because this is so great. Look at what he's doing. It's so great. That's what I've been feeling here over the past week. And yeah, it hurt in the heart when I heard that he was gone. And, you know, the first couple of times I saw him on screen, I went, wow, it's weird. It's weird that somebody who's that full of life and energy and broadcasting that much joy in comedy, it's weird that that guy's gone. But, you know, you feel that for 5-10 minutes watching an episode of SCTV, and then you just start laughing your ass off because he and the others are doing something that's just next level funny, that even the stuff that's so dated that you would have to explain it to the kids now, or to some of the adults who don't remember some of what they're referencing, even the stuff that's dated, you still see the joy and the fun just radiating out of Flaherty and the rest of the cast. You just see them all kind of knowing that they're serving comedy and that they're paying tribute to the gods of comedy by doing what they're doing. And Flaherty was so good at that. He was the best. He was the best out of that whole cast, and that is a cast full of heavyweight names, many of whom I would take a bullet for. Flaherty was the best. He was so funny and so good and so warm and avuncular that you just wanted to be around him, and you just wanted to let him go and let him riff, and you just wanted to see it. And thank God we get to see it. Thank God there is so much of it recorded on Blu-ray, on streaming, on what have you. Spend some time. Spend some time watching some Flaherty stuff. Whatever's your poison. Me, I've been hanging out with SCTV. I'm absolutely going to pop the wrong guy into the player here before this weekend is over as I'm recording this. And I'm going to hit the Ed Grimley shows, because he was in most of those doing a Count Floyd bit for a little while, and I'm going to miss him, but every time I see him, I'm going to celebrate him. So I guess there's nothing left to say. I feel like, at the same time, I feel like there's so much more to say. I'm not doing him any kind of justice. as anybody who's tried to pay tribute to him in the last 2 weeks knows. It's so hard to pay him justice and to do service to his incredible career and his wonderful style and presence. I'm falling so short, I know that. But I've gotta stop sometime. And I'm gonna stop now. So I guess there's only one thing to say. Rest in peace, Joe Flaherty. And thank you. All right, checkmates, that wasn't too bad. We got a half hour out of that. That's a reasonably long Fast Cash episode. It's hard for me to yell that because of the thing with my tooth and the F words making my lip vibrate. Hard for me to yell the name of the show. Ah, well, a couple more weeks of that. Everything will be okay. I mean, everything will be fine, I guess. Maybe it'll be okay. We'll see. I enjoyed meeting my new dentist. I'll tell you that. My previous dentist was a family friend who passed away last year, and I just hadn't gotten a new dentist. Helpful suggestion from your Uncle Derek. If you're in a situation where you need a new dentist, get them before you need them, because I called around to a bunch of people. Most of them weren't accepting new patients, and those who were, many of them would not see me until June or July. It's currently April. And I found one who was willing to see me, like, in 2 weeks, because apparently your new patients who actually need help, you don't rush them in for some reason. What I ended up doing is calling my old dentist's, you know, number. Because I knew that his business went somewhere, but I didn't really know the details. I called the old number and just kind of hoped. And actually, his old receptionist picked up, and I knew her right away, and she's known me forever. And genuinely, my previous dentist was my dentist for my entire life. So I talked to her for a little bit, and she got me scheduled to come in, like, same day, which was amazing. And so I went in and met my new dentist. Who was very polite and very, you know, sort of good energy about her. I'll tell you this, nobody prepares you for the stage of life where you suddenly realize, oh, my dentist is in her 20s. That's a new experience for me. My previous dentist was a gentleman in his 70s, maybe close to 80. I don't know exactly how old he was. That's a stage of life no one prepares you for, is that your medical professionals are half your age. Or even younger, depending. That's only going to get worse with time. But she seemed very nice and very knowledgeable. We did have an interesting moment where at the start of the conversation, you know, at the start of the kind of examination, whatnot, I was sitting there, and she was like, all right, well, let's go over your medical history. And I said, okay. And she does some clicking on her computer, and she says, okay, well, any medical conditions that we need to know about other than the tuberculosis? And I said, I have tuberculosis? And she said, you don't have tuberculosis? And I said, well, it's news to me if I do. And she said, okay. Clicked on the keyboard a little bit, and she said, all right, now you don't have tuberculosis. And I said, I gotta tell you, you're the best dentist I've ever had. And we shared a laugh, so I thought that was pretty good. But yeah, the whole operation there, all of the people that I met that were new people seemed very nice. It was also nice that there was a voice that I was familiar with that picked up the phone and greeted me when I walked through the door. But in general, folks, if you're looking for a new dentist, find it before you need it. That's probably true of most medical situations. Although, in most medical situations, if you've got a really bad sudden medical situations, you can go to an urgent care or you can go to an emergency room. There's not a lot of dentists like that. I know there are emergency dentists. I don't know how to find them. I know how to find an urgent care or an emergency room. I go to a thing that says urgent care on the outside of the building, or I go to an emergency room that's at a hospital, and I can be treated for the thing that's going wrong. Emergency dentists, hard to find in my area anyway. And also, what I had wasn't really an emergency. It still isn't really an emergency. It's just a problem. I like my new dentist is where this started. I think she's going to be a good fit for me. She seems very nice. Unfortunately, she's got to put up with that guy that you just heard. It's all right. It'll end up all right. We're going to wrap up the show here. We will be back on, I hope, a regular schedule here going forward. Although, I think this show is going to get uploaded at a weird time, because I'm recording it at a weird time. I was hoping to upload it the same day that I'm recording it. It is 10:30 at night as I'm recording this. I am not going to have this processed in time to upload it tonight. So it'll be tomorrow, maybe Tuesday. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But hopefully we'll start doing this weekly again. Because I like doing the show and I've missed doing the show. I've just had a lot going on lately, man. And I'm a guy with a day job. Sometimes it's hard to make the stuff that you do for fun also happen. But I'm going to do my best to make this show happen. Because I like it, and I know a lot of you like it, and some of you have even been emailing me saying, hey, what gives? Where's the show? Listen to the uploads between episodes. You'll know where the show is. You got to go to an app. You got to be on an app. You'll get those intermediate uploads and whatnot. In the meantime, thank you so much for making me part of your day, evening, weekend, week, time. Making me part of your time. Thanks for listening to this, is all I'm trying to say. I really do appreciate it, because, I don't want to listen to myself, but you seem to want to hear me. That was not my best pitch. Thank you for listening. Please remember to do whatever keeps you happy, healthy, and safe. Please remember that Black Lives Matter, that LGBTQIA+ rights are human rights, that women's rights are human rights, and I shouldn't have to tell you any of that. And checkmates, please be good to each other, be good to yourself, forgive each other, and forgive yourself. And while you're doing all that, check us out next time. Just imagine that I did the Count Floyd howl.